Welcome to episode 470 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The first three guidelines call us to our right relationship with God. Today is guideline number three. Do not dishonor the name of God in any way. The third of the Ten Commandments forbids taking or using the Lord's name in an irreverent manner because that would indicate a lack of respect for God himself. According to Exodus 20, verse 7, a person who misuses God's name will not be held guiltless by the Lord. Many people believe taking the Lord's name in vain refers to using that name as a swear word. And this is true to an extent. But there is much more involved with a vain use of God's name. To understand the severity of taking the Lord's name in vain, we must first see the name of God from his perspective as outlined in Scripture. The God of Israel was known by many names and titles, but the concept embodied in God's name plays an important and unique role in the Bible. God's nature and attributes, the totality of his being, and especially his glory, are reflected in his name. Psalm 111 verse 9 tells us his name is holy and awesome. Jesus, when he was asked to teach his disciples to pray, said this in Luke 11 verse 2. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed, holy be your name. This is an indication that our reverence for God and his name should be foremost in our prayers. Too often we barge into God's presence with presumptuous to-do lists for him without being mindful of his holiness, his awesomeness, and the vast chasm that separates our nature from his. That we are even allowed to come before his throne is due only to his gracious, merciful love for his own. We must never take that grace for granted. The notion of God's name being holy is not limited to the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke. In Mary's Song of Praise, the Magnificat, she says this in Luke 1 verses 46 to 49. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Later in that same chapter, Zechariah, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, said this about the God of Israel. We, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. In Luke 4, verse 34, an unclean spirit that has possessed a man says this to Jesus. Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. God the Father is holy. Jesus the Son is holy. And the third member of the Godhead, his name is holy, the Holy Spirit. God is a holy God, and we are to serve him as such. The worship of God as holy is relevant not only to our speech, but in all our conduct. The third guideline for abundant living deals somewhat with the claims of the one holy and true God on us, and the responsibility that we have to treat him as holy. God has invited us into a relationship with him. He has given us his name. Do you realize just how big a deal this is? David sang, Therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. God has chosen to redeem and transform us through that name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is an awesome thing. The God of the universe, who created the expanse of the galaxies, who designed subatomic particles, who gave breath and life to every creature, God, who made us in his own image, has given us his name, that we might be exalted to know him, honor him, and adore him. How then could we possibly use his name as an expression of amazement, consternation, or anger? How can we possibly live without thought of his greatness, goodness, and grace? In Jewish thought, a name is not merely an arbitrary designation, a random combination of sounds. The name conveys the nature and essence of the thing named. It represents the history and reputation of the being named. This is not as strange or unfamiliar a concept as it may seem at first glance. In English, we often refer to a person's reputation as his quote-unquote good name. When a company is sold, one thing that may be sold is the company's quote-unquote goodwill. That is the right to use the company's name. The Hebrew concept of a name is very similar to these ideas. The many names for God in the Old Testament are meant to communicate his essence. Adonai, Lord, God, Master. Elohim, Father God, God the Creator. Abba, Father. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. In the book of Luke, Jesus is called Savior, Lord, Master, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. These names speak to who he is. In the synagogue at Nazareth, after reading a passage from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus proclaimed in Luke 4, verse 21, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And soon thereafter added, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." In applying Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3 to himself, Jesus was describing himself as a liberator, a healer, a proclaimer of good news, as a comforter, and more. Later he added prophet to that self-description. We are to treat the names of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with reverence and proper regard. We are representatives of God's name through the actions we take in our daily lives. Each Christian is called to be a faithful witness and example of the character of Jesus in this world. In light of this, we take the name of God in vain when we claim to be Christian, when we claim to be of Christ, and we behave in ways that besmirch God's name. The third commandment is not about what we say as much as how we live. More literally, the third commandment reads, "Do not carry the name of the Lord in vain. Do not represent the Lord your God in an empty way." Just as the high priest of Israel carried the names of the 12 tribes before God in the holy place of the synagogue, so are we, his followers, to bear his holy name in our lives. Because of the greatness of the name of God, any use of God's name that brings dishonor on him or on his character is taking his name in vain. God's great name is often used rather flippantly in today's culture to swear, make false promises, and add emphasis to exclamatory statements. We often hear people use the name of God or Jesus at times and in places where it has no relevance or reverence. Rather than be careless and disrespectful, if we meditate on God's name, if we consider how great and awesome he is, if we acknowledge his holiness, we are reminded of who we are in contrast, and that might draw us into even greater intimacy in our relationship with him. When we love God, which is what the first three guidelines call us to do, God redeems us from a life of sin. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He does not give us the punishment we deserve. He heals us. He shows us compassion and so much more. Guideline number one, worship only God. Number two, let nothing come between you and the authentic worship of God. Number three, reverence and honor God. Show reverence and respect for his name. Father, set a guard over our mouths. Keep watch over the door of our lips. Help us to honor your great name. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.